This program may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Derek walks you through how to win government jobs and contracts, effectively manage your government career, and best utilize government services. Every week on Fed Access, you'll learn about interesting federal agencies, workers, and jobs. Fed Access provides you the access you need to succeed in the federal government. And now your host, Derek T. Dortch.
We're going to be talking about earthquakes, and there is something that's called the earthquake tour that's going on, and that's going to be starting next week, I believe, and we're going to find out a little bit more. I have on the phone with me, I have Alisa Nave, and she's the public outreach coordinator for an organization that's called the Central United States Earthquake Consortium. And I also have on the phone with me Candace Iskowitz, and she is...
I'm the Director of Public Affairs at the Institute for Business and Home Safety.
Ladies, welcome to Fed Access, and thank you so much. And talk to me about, you know, this earthquake tour 2011. I was, you know, reading through some stuff and saw this. It came, you know, to my attention. I was like, wow, I didn't even know this existed. What's going on with this earthquake tour? I know you guys are working with FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency. You're working closely with them on this tour. What's happening with it? What's the background on it?
Well, Derek, we're happy to be on the show to talk about the outreach initiative that we're doing around earthquakes. And this is going to be an event that takes us through five states which are exposed to the New Madrid seismic zone. And Elise is going to tell you a little bit more about the New Madrid bicentennial events that are going to be going on for the next 2 years, starting this year and going through 2012. But this specific event is targeted at home and business owners, and our purpose is to educate them about their risk, help them know what earthquake resources are out there so they can make a plan to be ready for earthquakes if they were to strike in their state or their region, and then also to educate them about what they can do to take action to reduce their risk of damage to both their property and their loved ones.
Wow. And all three of you guys, the U.S., the Central U.S. Earthquake Consortium, FEMA, as well as the Institute for Business and Home Safety, you guys have partnered up in terms of taking this tour to about five different states. What are those different states?
Well, we're going to start off in Arkansas, in Jonesboro, and then we're going to move to Jackson, Tennessee. We'll be going to Paducah, Kentucky. We'll go to Carterville, Illinois. And then we're going to have two locations in Missouri, starting with Shrewsbury, Missouri, which is right outside of St. Louis, and then in the city of St. Louis, and that will conclude our outreach. And, yes, we're all partnering for this effort. But aside from our organizations, I'd like to really recognize the state and local partners that have helped make these events possible, because we've worked closely with all of them to get the word out, because they recognize the importance of getting this information in the hands of people who can act on it.
You know, when I'm looking at the different states, and you know, this is kind of definitely some information for me, you know, I'm looking at Arkansas, Kentucky, Illinois, Missouri, Tennessee, and whenever I look at those states, I'm thinking about maybe tornadoes, or I'm thinking about other kind of things. I'm not thinking about earthquakes. I'm thinking about California when it comes to earthquakes. You know, break that down for me in terms of, I mean, are these areas susceptible to earthquakes than we really realized?
Well, just as you, I was thinking along the same things. I live in Memphis, Tennessee, so who knew? I live in an affected area.
Mm-hmm.
But earthquakes here are not as frequent as they are in California, so the residents here, we don't get the reminder that
okay.
that hazard
okay.
actually exists. It's through scientists and their study. They have discovered the fault lines and things here, and working very feverishly to get the word out that this does exist, and what the patterns of the region will be if there is a seismic event, and just trying to get people to become more prepared and keep earthquakes on our mind.
Is it a matter of, and because I know that even, I think the past year, I mean, there were earthquakes. I know in the Maryland and the D.C. area, there was a little small little earthquake. And then, you know, we are also reminded of situations in Haiti. Is it almost a matter of letting people know that this could possibly happen anytime, and there is a lot more seismic activity, that even though you're not feeling it, there is some stuff that may be going on, and we just want people to be prepared?
Oh, certainly, yes. We average, scientists say we average about 200 to 250 earthquakes in this region a year that we don't feel.
Hmm.
So it's just about getting the word out, keeping it on people's minds.
You know, with that whole kind of process, you know, as you kind of begin looking, and I want to kind of get some of the backdrop on this, there's a bicentennial going on about kind of the New Madrid or New Madrid earthquake, something that happened in 1811 and 1812. Give us some, it's a bicentennial on this, give us some backdrop of what's going on and why are we looking back to that time period?
Well, we are observing the New Madrid Bicentennial, which is the 200th anniversary of the 1811-1812 Great New Madrid Earthquakes, just to increase awareness about the earthquake hazard that we all share in the central U.S. We want to promote greater preparedness efforts among its residents who live and work here. We work very hard with our 8 KSIC member state emergency management earthquake program managers, and we're going to provide some variety of activities throughout the region, such as town hall meetings and safety preparedness fairs and hospital mitigation workshops throughout the year of 2011-2012, that's going to enhance their knowledge about the earthquake hazard and educate them on how they can prepare for an earthquake.
New Madrid, the history of it was it a matter of that these earthquakes happened in this area? You know, I mean, I don't completely know the history, but did it happen through Tennessee and Illinois that this situation happened back in 1811-1812?
Well, I do know the New Madrid seismic zone stretches from southern Illinois all the way to northeastern Arkansas.
Okay.
So, yeah, those were some pretty powerful earthquakes. I believe it was felt in more than 18 states and even up into Canada.
Hmm. Wow.
They felt that
okay.
shaking.
Okay. Have you found that many people are like myself and saying, why are we doing an earthquake awareness in these states? I mean, have you found, you know, what have you found in terms of the outreach when you're going into certain areas? I mean, what's been the response from people?
Well, it's definitely a challenge. We live in a region of the country where we're not reminded that we have an earthquake hazard. And a lot of the response I get, for example, a lot of them say we have earthquakes. Some of them don't know we even have earthquakes here. And, you know, I have to sit down and just kind of tell them the history of the region and everything.
Wow. You know, Candace, I mean, in terms of looking at it from the business side of it, and are you guys concerned in terms of saying, well, listen, you know, we're seeing this seismic activity and you know, because I think your organization is funded by the insurance companies, right?
Correct. Our focus really is on behalf of the insurance industry to find solutions for people to reduce their risk of damage from earthquakes, and we deal with all other types of hazards, including wildfires, hurricanes, hail, tornado, and flooding, as well as winter weather, which I know a lot of people in your area can relate to right now.
Definitely.
So we try to get the word out there to homeowners and to business owners that there are things that you can do to reduce your risk. And, you know, I think it's important for us to point out that in the last 12 months, there have been at least 2 3.0 or greater earthquakes in this region, in Indiana and in northern Illinois. Both had some significant shaking in the last 12 months. So you may not think that you're at risk, but it, you know, it only takes one, and the earthquakes are extremely unpredictable, even though while you can identify a pattern, it's not like with a hurricane where you get several days warning, and it's not like with a wildfire where you're going to be evacuated. Earthquakes can strike and you don't have the warning. If you have any warning at all, that's a luxury. So preparedness is really key.
You know, with this tour, is this going to be, and I know the theme is kind of, and for both of you, the theme is identify your risk, make a plan, and then take action. Kind of break that down. I mean, for those people who, you know, don't have the pleasure of kind of being in the 5 states where you're going to be doing this tour at, and you're going to be doing these, you know, educational outreach, you know, seminars and everything else, given that what you just said, that there's been seismic activity all over our country, and, you know, and we don't know where it will hit, you know, if we just want to be prepared, What would those steps take us through? There is an earthquake tour that's going on that's being sponsored by the Central U.S. Earthquake Consortium, the Institute for Business and Home Safety, and also the Federal Emergency Management Agency. I have two of the people who represent the organizations, Elisa Nave and then also Candace Iskowitz. You're listening to Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Could switching to GEICO really save you 15% or more on car insurance? Is trying to sneak out of a really boring meeting wearing tap shoes a bad idea?
Sales growth has increased 2.9%. That's a reflection of aggressive... Ben, where are you going?
Nowhere. Headed back to my seat now.
Switch to GEICO now and you could save hundreds on your car insurance. For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Concerned about your health? Then be sure to catch the groundbreaking radio show, Essentials of Healthy Living, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda. Join hosts Dana Lake and Kevin Passero as they bring you the latest news about traditional and alternative medicine, dietary supplements, nutrition, and healthy living. Tune in every Sunday at 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio. Visit myvillagegreen.com. Listen to past shows and discover other healthy living resources. Essentials of Healthy Living is sponsored by Zymogen and Metagenics.
I wasn't born to go with the flow. I was born to make a difference, to make waves. I want my sweat and hard work to mean something. I was born to serve in the United States Coast Guard. If you were born ready to lead, to protect, to uphold the law, then visit GoCoastGuard.com. The United States Coast Guard. Born ready.
Sponsored by the United States Coast Guard, in cooperation with the Maryland, D.C., Delaware Broadcasters Association and this station.
I wasn't born to go with the flow. I was born to make a difference, to make waves. I want my sweat and hard work to mean something. I was born to serve in the United States Coast Guard. If you were born ready to lead, to protect, to uphold the law, then visit GoCoastGuard.com. The United States Coast Guard. Born ready.
Sponsored by the United States Coast Guard, in cooperation with the Maryland, D.C., Delaware Broadcasters Association and this station.
Government personnel must continue to achieve mission-critical objectives no matter their work environment. Video conferencing technologies provide a highly effective collaboration solution for federal employees affected by budget cuts, BRAC initiatives, and telework mandates if they are secure based on open standards and deployable in limited bandwidth environments. Polycom is the first video provider to have an ultimate HD portfolio that is JITC certified, offering real-time face-to-face communication without compromising secure networks or consuming excessive bandwidth. Polycom enables government customers to collaborate over voice and video anywhere, anytime, securely both inside and outside the firewall, offering high-definition video calls at half the bandwidth of other companies. To learn more, visit polycom.com/federal.
The Telework Center arms you with all the information you need to know about teleworking in the federal government. Go to federalnewsradio.com, keyword Polycom.
Hi, I'm Neil Asbury, host of The Neil Asbury Show. Please join me and my guests each week as we discuss the importance of international trade, entrepreneurialism, small business ownership, job creation, and the American dream.
The Neil Asbury Show, Saturday mornings at 8 on Federal News Radio. The Neil Asbury Show is sponsored by AIT Worldwide Logistics, Yoakum Shore and Trossaven, and WTS, Withers Worldwide Transportation Systems.
I wasn't born to go with the flow. I was born to make a difference, to make waves. I want my sweat and hard work to mean something. I was born to serve in the United States Coast Guard. If you were born ready to lead, to protect, to uphold the law, then visit GoCoastGuard.com. The United States Coast Guard. Born ready.
Sponsored by the United States Coast Guard, in cooperation with the Maryland, D.C., Delaware Broadcasters Association and this station.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. There's a special earthquake outreach tour that's being sponsored by the Central U.S. Earthquake Consortium and the Federal Emergency Management Agency, as well as the Institute for Business and Home Safety. I have two of the people who represent the organizations, Elisa Nave and then also Candace Iskowitz. They're representing these organizations and talking about the earthquake tour that's going on starting basically next week and going all next week out of five different states. You know, the theme is identify your risk, make a plan, and take action. If we had to break this down for those people who are not, you know, going to be privy to going to these tours, what do we say in terms of identifying the risk? I mean, how do we find out if our area is at risk for earthquakes?
Well, that's a great question, Derek, and it's an important one that people need to realize that there are resources out there to help them identify their risk. And there are four regions in the U.S. that have earthquake exposure, and we're focusing on the region that's exposed to the New Madrid Fault, which is in the central U.S. And the websites for the organizations involved in this all have information about where they can find out tools in terms of maps and risks. And if you go, I'll do a shameless plug here for our website, which
is disastersafety.org.
And we have a zip code tool. So if you went on that website and entered your zip code, you would pull up what risks you're exposed to. And if you lived in the states that are in the New Madrid zone, let's say, for example, Arkansas, because that's where we're going to begin the tour on Monday, you would find earthquake as your risk. And you would find maps to show what your risk is. And that's true of CUSEC and FEMA. They also have maps to identify their risk, and also the U.S. Geological Survey, of course, is a great source of information for risk identification.
So let me do it. I'm on the website right now. Give me this one of the zip codes for one of the areas you guys are covering right now. I just typed in the D.C. Zip code, and it gave on your site, disastersafety.org, and it gave me floods and high winds and freezing weather and as kind of the high-risk areas. But give me one of the zip codes in the areas you're speaking of. And with that, you know, while you're going through that whole process, in terms of, you know, when on your site, when people are able to pull this stuff up, you know, where I'm looking at the DC, which I think is interesting, you can kind of let people know, like, how much risk you are at in terms of getting, you know, whether it be a flood or earthquake. I mean, you can kind of tell people, hey, listen, you know, these are the things you need to be prepared for, because this area has a history of these things happening. Is that correct?
Right. That zip code tool is tied to a variety of different databases based on previous risks, whether it's earthquake risk mapping or hurricane wind patterns or wildfires or flooding, winter weather or hail. Those are all databases that we rely on. So I just typed in the zip code for Paducah, Kentucky, which is where we're going to be on Wednesday of next week.
And what's the zip code?
42001.
42001.
And earthquake pops up, and that's the first risk. So once they go there, there's a lot of information that they can use. And once they've identified their risk, the second piece of the outreach initiative is to make a plan. And whether they're looking at their local emergency managers to find out what they're doing to help them prepare, individual preparedness is very important. And they need to look around and see what type of emergency plan best fits their family or their business. Because if you don't have a job to go back to, that's almost as devastating as if you don't have a home to go back to. So we really stress a community-wide approach to looking at how to make a plan that's most effective for your individual situation. And that really puts you in control of your risk. And once you've identified what your plan should be, then you need to look at both your interior of your structure and your exterior of your structure and decide what is, you know, how strong is my home or my business? And when it comes to seismic, a lot of the states have building codes, and building codes require that these structures are built to certain specifications to protect them from earthquake damage. Well, unfortunately, our organization has a lot of really talented engineers on staff, and we have some building code experts, and we did an analysis in a paper that is called The Importance of Building Codes in Earthquake-Prone States. And we found that a lot of the states in the New Madrid Zone simply do not have the building codes in place to protect people and property from earthquakes. So there's a lot of vulnerability there, and not like in California where they're up to date on their earthquake protections. Places like Arkansas, places like Illinois, Missouri, and parts of Indiana, for the most part, they don't have a statewide building code, or it's not being well enforced. So that puts people at risk. So that's part of knowing your risk. So making your plan based on that risk means having your property evaluated for seismic exposure. And then the action piece of that would be deciding what you need to do to shore up that property against earthquake risk. And there's a lot of things that you can do that aren't going to break the bank. So we're really trying to stress the affordability factor here when we're going out and talking to the public. One of the pieces that I'm one of the presenters on the tour, and one of the pieces we're going to stress is that we went to our local hardware store, and for $56, mm-hmm. we bought some materials that would help us protect our water heater from tipping over, our flat panel TV from falling off the wall, bookcases from falling over, cabinet doors from flying open and the contents falling out, our suspended light fixtures on the ceilings coming down. All of these things can happen, and it doesn't have to be a major earthquake for something like this to occur.
And, Candace, I mean, as you're kind of talking about this, I'm reading and looking at this stuff right here. You've got a couple of different interesting things about lessons learned from the Haitian earthquake, about what you should do in terms of securing bookshelves and cabinets and things you just kind of spoke about getting the tools from the hardware store to kind of do these things. Are most people injured because the things in the house are not secure where earthquake happens and then something just falls on them? Or, you know, is that the case where most people are injured or killed?
Well, that certainly is a big risk. I mean, imagine if you're standing there, and we have a video also on our site that shows a simulation we did with the University of Illinois Mid-America Earthquake Center where a bookcase actually falls over. We had some dummies in a living room set up where they did a shaking that was not a major earthquake. I think it was a 5.6 earthquake, which is, you know, the Haiti earthquake was a 7-point-plus magnitude. Mm-hmm. And so we're not talking about a major earthquake, but imagine if a bookshelf filled with materials were to fall over on somebody when they're seated on a couch. And like we said a few minutes ago, it's not like you're going to get advance warning about these earthquakes. So, you know, it takes under $100. You can secure that and secure a lot of other things that could really prevent damage to people and to property. And, you know, one of the things I'd like to bring up, if you'll let me for a minute here, is going back to what you said about what we learned from the Haiti earthquake,
mm-hmm.
is if you look at how Haiti fared versus how Chile fared, they were only a couple of weeks apart. The magnitudes were extremely similar, but the buildings performed so much better in Chile, and the reason is because they had a strong, well-enforced building code. And that's the beginning. But in states where you already have existing properties where they don't have a building code, which we know is common in the New Madrid area,
right.
then you really have to think about retrofitting these properties, both in interior and exterior retrofits, or you're just putting yourself at risk. And taking control of that risk is what this really initiative is all about.
Is there money from organizations, and maybe both of you can comment on this, you know, I mean, you're speaking about something that's very, very important, especially, you know, places like Tennessee, Arkansas, and other areas like that, where, I mean, there has been progress. Poverty rate is high in some of these areas. And, you know, I mean, like you have old, like you said, old structures that have not been updated to new code. I mean, is there, you know, federal monies? Because, you know, many of these people do not have the resources. And I know that they can, you know, go to the hardware store and maybe secure some things, but they don't have the resources to maybe solidify their structure a little bit more. Is there something out there to help people like that?
Well, I do know that the Federal Emergency Management Agency does offer mitigation assistance. And unfortunately, FEMA is not on the call with us today, but their website has a lot of great information about mitigation assistance.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they could certainly answer questions if people were to contact them and find out what's available. I know that there are some resources, but a lot of it is you have to do your homework and find out what's available. Sometimes there's local governments that have resources or state governments that have resources, because the studies show that every dollar you spend on mitigation, you get a return of $4 in terms of community recovery costs. So it's in everybody's interest to take the steps you need to take.
We're talking about earthquakes, and we're talking to two of the people who are part of the earthquake outreach tour of 2011, Candace Iskowitz from the Institute of Business and Home Safety, as well as Elisa Nave. She's from the Central U.S. Earthquake Consortium. You're listening to Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
The Pentagon and Beyond, brought to you by Air Inc.
A report from the Senate Homeland Security Committee says the Defense Department did not inform or train commanders about how to recognize a radicalized Islamic extremist or how to see the difference between that and the peaceful practice of Islam. In addition, the FBI was criticized for not totally sharing all of the information it had about Major Nadal Hassan and his beliefs before the shooting at Fort Hood that killed 13 and wounded 32. The FBI says it wasn't sure about some of his connections. I'm J.J. Green.
There's a lot of talk about thinking outside the box. But what about thinking inside the box? ARINC is a company that looks at every angle when solving problems. In fact, ARINC recently helped convert regular cargo containers into sophisticated air traffic and communications control facilities for use abroad, combining the shipping box and actual equipment into one turnkey system. Imagine that. Log on to www.arinc.com to learn more.
What is the One DHS vision and strategy? How is DHS right-sizing and consolidating its physical footprint? And what is DHS doing to better manage its resources and execute its overall mission? Join host Michael Keegan as he explores these and other questions with Rafael Boris, Undersecretary for Management at DHS, next week on the Business of Government Hour.
I wasn't born to go with the flow. I was born to make a difference, to make waves. I want my sweat and hard work to mean something. I was born to serve in the United States Coast Guard. If you were born ready to lead, to protect, to uphold the law, then visit GoCoastGuard.com. The United States Coast Guard. Born ready.
Sponsored by the United States Coast Guard, in cooperation with the Maryland, D.C., Delaware Broadcasters Association and this station.
The latest from the Federal Security Spotlight, brought to you by Cisco.
How does an agency get the experience it needs with IP version 6? Here's Sheila Frankel, computer security scientist at the National Institute of Standards and Technology.
And one good way to get this expertise and also benefit outside users is to take your web servers that are outside your organizational firewall and make them IPv6 capable. This will enable the agency to acquire expertise.
To hear the entire show, log on to federalnewsradio.com. Will the top-of-mind security issues of today be the issues facing government tomorrow? Get the latest from federal experts on FISMA reform, the cyber initiative, how government is combating botnets, spyware, and other cyber evils, and more. Listen to Federal Security Spotlight, sponsored by Cisco, airing Thursday from 10 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m. or on demand at federalnewsradio.com. The Federal Security Spotlight is brought to you by Cisco, the leader in federal IT security.
Since 1886, the Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Washington, D.C. has been helping children in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. Now they are visited by over 3,000 children every day. The club teaches character and leadership development and arts education. No child is turned away for being unable to pay the $25 fee, and the club needs your help to make this happen. Give a gift online at bgcgw.org. The life you lift up today will be the life that brings a better world tomorrow. This message is brought to you by GEICO and Federal News Radio.
Profile America, Friday, February 4th. With the announcement of the official population count from the 2010 census last December, the spotlight has shifted from the taking of the census to its constitutional purpose. For many decades, the number of seats in the House of Representatives was increased after each census. In 1913, the House capped its size at 435 members. Since that time, the fixed number of seats has been reapportioned after each census to ensure that seats in the House, along with political power, accurately reflect the population gains and losses of the individual states. The steps in this process and the deadlines involved are set by law. You can find these and more facts about the 2010 census online at census.gov.
Looking for usable news and information that helps you do your job? Tune in to In Depth with Francis Rose every weekday afternoon from 1 to 3 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Francis explores the relationship between agencies and Congress by taking you to the hearing rooms on Capitol Hill and asking questions of federal decision makers and experts. You'll get a first-hand look at how Congress affects your agency's personnel, funding, and oversight. In Depth also looks at the relationship between agencies and contractors, companies that do billions of dollars of business with the federal government.
government talk about the work they're doing for agencies, the work they're bidding on, and the work they didn't get. And In-Depth will help you be a better manager. Francis talks to authors, scholars, and managerial experts about managing projects, managing your workforce, and managing yourself. In-Depth with Francis Rose, every weekday afternoon from 1 to 3 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we've been having a really interesting conversation about earthquakes, about preparation for earthquakes. I mean, a lot of us don't think about this as we're thinking about the winter storms. We're sometimes thinking about floods, maybe tornadoes. We feel like we're in an area that is not earthquake affected. But what we're learning today is that a lot of areas are earthquake affected. There are earthquakes that are going on that we don't even know about. And we need to be prepared just in case something that happens, like in Haiti and Chile or other places, even in California, if something like that happens in our town. We're talking about this with the Central United States Earthquake Consortium, an organization who really focuses on earthquake. And we also have the Institute of Business and Home Safety. Candace Iskowitz, she's there. And then Alyssa Nave, she's at the Central U.S. Earthquake Consortium. Alyssa, we gave the disastersafety.org, which is the Institute for Business and Home Safety's website, and they got some great tools on there. Your website is what? And I want to talk about a couple different things you guys are doing. Not only is the earthquake tour going on with your partners with FEMA and IBHS, but you got this Central U.S. shakeout going on and some other events that's happening throughout the year. Can you talk to us about that?
That's correct. My organization's website is qsec.org. We have a variety
and that's
of earthquake
what's that?
Related
is that CUSEC.org?
Yes.
C-U-S. So if anybody's listening, it's CUSEC.org. So QSEC.org. Go on, Alyssa.
Oh, and on that website, we have a variety of earthquake-related information. We have things that talk about the shakeout, about the history of the region.
Mm-hmm.
We also have our quarterly journal that we post on there quarterly every year, which talks about what our different states are doing and preparing for response and recovery for a seismic event. We keep people up to date and abreast on those things. As you said, we are spearheading the Great Central U.S. Earthquake Shakeout, and it's simply just a drop, cover, and hold-on drill.
Okay.
What we're going to do in April is that on the 28th at 10:15 a.m., everyone should drop, get under a desk, cover their heads, and hold on as if you were, if there was an earthquake.
Okay.
And it's only for 2 minutes, 2 minutes time.
Why 2 minutes?
Well, we're going to depend. I know in a real situation that the shaking may last longer, but mm-hmm. just for this simulated event, we picked 2 minutes.
Okay.
But because it's going to be in the middle of the morning, schools are going to be in session, people are going to be at work, and we just want to take that specific moment
mm-hmm.
To allow them to know what to do.
Right.
If this were to ever happen. But we know realistically shaking could be longer.
Sure. Is this a, you know, and I'm looking at the thing where you kind of talk about this is kind of a teachable moment. Are you getting buy-in from, you know, many people in, you know, business community, schools, churches? Is everybody kind of getting buy-in to say we're going to do this at this day? And, you know, we used to have a time period where people would, you know, do emergency preparation a lot and fire drills and everything else. I don't see that happen as much anymore. Are people starting to buy into this?
I know, absolutely. We've talked to a number of schools and a number of school districts, private sector individuals, and they're all very anxious to test their response.
Is part of one of your websites, shakeout.org? Is that the thing right there? Is that what it is?
Yes, it is shakeout.org/Central U.S.
Wow. With the shakeout in terms of kind of preparation and as you're going, and I know Candace went into a number of different things part of the plan. On your website, you're also giving kind of resources that are similar to kind of tell people how to kind of prepare, you know, just in case an earthquake happens in terms of your homes and your businesses or your schools or other things like that. Are you also kind of giving that kind of information?
Oh, definitely. We have some resources that will tell you how to prepare yourself and your family before earthquake, getting your survival kits together. We have items and things that are very useful in a home survival kit. And we talk about how to what to do during the earthquake, which is the drop cover and hold on, and then things you do after an earthquake, like be able to check your water line and turn off the gas, and wear sturdy shoes because of all the debris and everything, so you wouldn't injure yourself. Things like that.
You know, you just bring up an interesting point, and I want maybe both of you kind of, you know, chime in on this. You know, if because both of you really kind of look at the lessons learned, and we're learning a lot of lessons from Haiti and maybe other earthquakes that have happened in the past. What have been the key lessons that we have learned that will help people survive, if a tragic earthquake, a 7-point earthquake or more happened in one of these areas? What have we learning from Haiti that would help, you know, us get past that? Either one of you, Candace, anyone?
Well, I know here in our area we have the benefit of collaborating with the member states that do share this one hazard. So we're able to sit at the table and hash out different issues of what may happen during the immediate response and recovery area. We can get the scientists at the table to talk about areas of the region that would be at most risk for people. And we just have that advantage of collaborating and talking ahead some of these issues.
Candace,
from our perspective, Derek, at IBHS, one of the things that we try to look at is, as I mentioned, structural and non-structural options that people can take the steps in advance. One thing that they might not think about that could really make a big difference is what happens if you have a gas line that were to rupture when your property shakes or it were to dislodge, so you have gas rushing through, and that can spark a fire, which after the shaking is over, then you still have the risk of the fire. So I think one of the things that we saw that worked well in Chile, as I mentioned, they performed much better than Haiti in the earthquake in terms of buildings and lives lost. Their lives were significantly less number of people who were killed, is the installation of flexible gas line pipe. And that's one of the things we're going to show during the outreach initiative, is we actually have some flexible piping that if they were to connect to that between their gas line and the appliance, it allows them some flexibility. So if there is shaking that's going on, you're less likely to have natural gas spewing into the property and less likely to have a fire. So that's something that I think people need to pay attention to, and there's not a lot of discussion about that.
I'm assuming that there's, since we've had all these different advancements in you know, technology and kind of building, is this correct, and kind of tell me if I'm right or not, are all kind of new houses and, you know, new buildings that are being put in place by new businesses and new bridges, are they all being made to survive a certain level of earthquake these days?
No.
Okay.
And unfortunately, they're not. And there may be some sense of a false sense of security among the public about that. And I mentioned before building codes. And I cannot stress enough the importance of strong, and not only strong, but well-enforced building codes. Because if you have not adopted the International Residential or International Building Code in your state, then unless your builder is going above and beyond the norm, then your home or business is not built for earthquake risk. Now, that's not to say that every home needs to be built for earthquake risk, because not every state has an earthquake risk.
Mm-hmm.
But the states that do, that needs to be a concern. Just like you cannot assume that your house has been built to withstand high winds or heavy snow like you're seeing in the Northeast right now, you can't assume that if there's not a building code governing how the construction is being done, because it's just not something that's regulated, and if it's not enforced, then there's no one to hold people accountable for. The building code may sound like a good idea, but you have to have the enforcement mechanism there. So I don't want anyone who's listening to the broadcast today to have that false sense of security. You know, call your building code department and find out, does your state have a building code, or go on our website. We have a building code department at IVHS, and we have a building code section at disastersafety.org. You can click on any state in the nation and find out if you have a building code. And if so, if your property isn't governed by a building code, it's more important than ever for you to get it evaluated and take the steps you need to retrofit.
We're talking to two of the people who are part of the earthquake outreach tour of 2011, Candace Iskowitz from the Institute of Business and Home Safety, as well as Elisa Nave. She's from the Central U.S. Earthquake Consortium. You're listening to Derek T. Deutsch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
The following statement has been authorized by Credit Guard of America. A nonprofit national helpline has been established to assist members of the public struggling with credit card debt. If you owe $2,000 or more to the credit card companies and are seeking relief, you are invited to call the toll-free helpline now for free information, 1-800-300-3320. This service is provided by Credit Guard of America, a nonprofit organization. The free helpline offers programs that allow you to cut your payments by up to half of what you're currently paying and reduce your debt to much less than you owe. Call the toll-free helpline now for free information at 1-800-300-3320. Again, a nonprofit national helpline has been established to assist members of the public struggling with credit card debt of $2,000 or more. Members of the public wanting to learn how to get debt-free and stay debt-free are urged to call the national toll-free helpline now for free information and assistance at 1-800-300-3320. That's 1-800-300-3320.
Could switching to GEICO really save you 15% or more on car insurance? Does a rolling stone gather no moss? No moss. You're gonna have to trust me on this one.
Switch to GEICO now and you could save hundreds on your car insurance. For a free rate quote, visit geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth, every Saturday at 10 a.m. here on WFED 1500 AM. This week, my special guest is Rick Leeson, CFA and founder of Frontier Advisors, LLC. The show is sponsored by Odin Feldman & Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information, visit us on the web at ofplaw.com.
I wasn't born to go with the flow. I was born to make a difference, to make waves. I want my sweat and hard work to mean something. I was born to serve in the United States Coast Guard. If you were born ready to lead, to protect, to uphold the law, then visit GoCoastGuard.com. The United States Coast Guard. Born ready.
Sponsored by the United States Coast Guard. In cooperation with the Maryland, D.C., Delaware Broadcasters Association and this station.
I wasn't born to go with the flow. I was born to make a difference, to make waves. I want my sweat and hard work to mean something. I was born to serve in the United States Coast Guard. If you were born ready to lead, to protect, to uphold the law, then visit GoCoastGuard.com. The United States Coast Guard. Born ready.
Sponsored by the United States Coast Guard. In cooperation with the Maryland, D.C., Delaware Broadcasters Association and this station.
I'm not just some tall drink of water, you know. I mean, I wash your dishes, I do the laundry, I help put out fires. I'm always there when you need me. 24/7, at home, at work, just about anywhere. And I'm not expensive. But I have great taste. Well, I guess I am a tall drink of water, but I'm tap water. And that makes me special. For more information about what only tap water delivers, visit drinktap.org.
I wasn't born to go with the flow. I was born to make a difference, to make waves. I want my sweat and hard work to mean something. I was born to serve in the United States Coast Guard. If you were born ready to lead, to protect, to uphold the law, then visit GoCoastGuard.com. The United States Coast Guard. Born ready.
Sponsored by the United States Coast Guard. In cooperation with the Maryland, D.C., Delaware Broadcasters Association and this station.
Plan now to attend a firm's February luncheon for an in-depth look at federal cybersecurity mandates. Learn from government leaders how to safeguard our country and protect the privacy of our citizens. That's Thursday, February 17th at 11:30 a.m., at the George Washington University Marvin Center in Washington, D.C. Register today at www.affirm.org.
Connect with Federal News Radio wherever you are. Like us on Facebook to see the hottest news stories on your wall. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/FedNewsRadio. Download our free iPhone app. Just go to the App Store and search for Federal News Radio. And now, connect to the radio station straight from your cell phone. Just call 712-432-6616. Go to federalnewsradio.com and search for social media for details.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Deutsch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we've been having a real interesting conversation that you need to go back on the website and chime back in and listen to, because we've been talking about earthquakes and I've been getting educated today about how much we are at risk in earthquakes, especially in areas of the Midwest and certain areas of the South, certain areas of our country, Arkansas, Tennessee, places that I would have never thought of are at risk of earthquakes. We've been talking about the earthquake outreach tour of 2011, as well as the great shakeout that's going to be happening in April of this year as well. And we're talking to the Central United States Earthquake Consortium. Alyssa Nave, she's representing that organization, as well as the Institute for Home and Business and Home Safety. Let me make sure I get that right, Candace. Candace Iskowitz, she's representing the Institute for Business and Home Safety, their website, disastersafety.org. Candace, you were talking about before the break about how we are assuming, and I am also saying I have done this as well, because I've assumed that, you know, new businesses that are being built and new houses that are being built and new structures are being built, that now because we're in a country of laws, that, you know, everything is under compliance. And I guess my question is why not? Why haven't our government agencies put these things into compliance to make sure that things are, you know, earthquake safe or wind safe or anything like that?
Well, Derek, I want to make sure that everyone who's listening understands there's no national building code.
Okay.
So it's up to state by state adoption and enforcement. There are agency standards like the International Code Council and the National Fire Protection Association. They come up with the standards for building codes. There are nationally recognized standards, but it's up to individual states to adopt those and to enforce them. And building codes are basic. They're a basic start for life safety issue. It's the minimum standard. So we feel like that, you know, every state should have a statewide building code that is well enforced. But unfortunately, not every state has one. And that's something we work to educate people about, because part of understanding your risk, which is one of the themes of the Earthquake Outreach Initiative, is knowing, do I have a building code in Arkansas? Mm-hmm. Do I have a building code in Illinois? Do I have a building code in Missouri? Now, if you're in a big city, your chances of having a stronger building code are probably better. For example, in St. Louis, they have adopted a building code. So a lot of the structures there are built to the most modern standards and incorporate some earthquake resistance. If you're in other parts of the state, whether it's incorporated or unincorporated, chances are you're not.
Right.
So, you know, why they haven't adopted it, that's a great question. Hmm. And we'd love to have everybody sit around the table and say, yes, we're going to adopt it, the statewide building code for our state, because the building codes are designed to protect against the hazards that are common in their areas where the houses and businesses are being constructed.
Is this now a situation where, you know, people, and I hate to say this, I mean, and, you know, we're in a society that focuses in on money, but builders are just saying, hey, listen, we're just trying to cut costs and save money and make this profit. It's too expensive to bring things under compliance if we do all of these things.
Well, and that's the argument that comes up a lot. And, you know, the fact is, when you adopt a building code, if everybody had this standard, then the cost wouldn't be that much more. And if you look at the amount of potential losses for these states, you're talking about loss of property tax base. If you lost an entire neighborhood, imagine what that would do to the local municipalities and the police, fire services that are relying on those tax dollars. So can you really afford not to adopt a statewide building code? No, you can't. And it's in everybody's best interest. And these are minimum standards. It's not, we're not asking people to build fortresses. We're not encouraging them to, you know, to make everything out of one kind of building material. There are a lot of ways to build strong, durable structures.
But what
and
you're looking
so these
for
are just basic principles that we think everybody should follow.
What I'm hearing you saying is that we just need a more educated a population to understand that, hey, listen, you've got to get involved and you've got to make sure that your builder or things that are happening within your government are keeping you safe. Is that what
right.
I'm hearing?
Right, and education is the key to anything. And there are a lot of really wonderful builders out there who do incorporate above and beyond the standards because no builder wants to see their home, the home or business that they constructed in a pile of rubble.
Exactly.
And, you know, everybody talks about green, and that's a buzzword that's been going around. But, you know, we stress that also, how green is it if your home or business ends up as debris in a landfill after a natural disaster? We want people to have homes to go back to and jobs to go back to. The economic state of the country right now, nobody can afford to be out of work because of natural disaster or out of their home for an extended period of time because of damage.
Right. And, Candace, you're working with what federal agencies? Because I'm going to swing into Alyssa and talk about the Earthquake Consortium. But before, you're working with what federal agencies in your work?
Well, we work a lot with the Federal Emergency Management Agency. We work along with the U.S. Fire Administration, U.S. Forest Service. I know I'll be leaving somebody out here, but we definitely work a lot with DHS as a whole and all of their components. And we work with the state governments, local governments, on a variety of issues. As I mentioned, we're a national organization that does all hazards. So earthquake is our focus for this tour, but we certainly are concerned about all risks.
DisasterSafety.org is your website. Alyssa, let me talk about the Central U.S. Earthquake Consortium. You guys are funded by FEMA to really kind of deal with some of these earthquakes. What else do you have going on as we kind of have to close out?
Well, of course, CUSEC, we have in April coming up the Great Central U.S. Shakeout, and actually the next month after that, we're partnering with our eight state emergency management agencies in an effort for the national level earthquake exercise, 2011. This is where each state is going to get involved and test their emergency response plan that they've been updating in case of a New Madrid event. So we're going to test those throughout the region in May. Also, CUSEC is partnering with IBHS and St. Jude to construct an earthquake-resistant home as part of their St. Jude's Dream Home project that they're going to unveil that in April of 2012 also.
Where would this home be constructed at?
It's going to be constructed in the Memphis, Tennessee area.
Okay. And is this kind of taking some of the kind of the top-notch builders or, you know, some of the top-notch new kind of construction tools or materials and kind of really kind of putting this together? Or are we talking about building a home that is going to be very, very affordable, to someone, maybe $150,000? I mean, what kind of home is this going to be?
Well, typically they do build homes that are very affordable that they give away. They're going to be working closely. The local contractors that St. Jude employs are going to be working very closely with IBHS as far as building to seismic standards and everything.
Outstanding. Your website is CUSEC.org, CUSEC.org. And I think the other website, what was the Shakeout website, Alyssa?
It is Shakeout.org.
Shakeout.org/CentralUS. Ladies, thank you so much for joining me. Your organizations are doing some incredible work in terms of, and you've educated me today, and I hope everybody else had a chance to really learn some things about what's going on. The Central United States Earthquake Consortium, Alyssa Nave, she's representing them. You can find it, CUSEC.org, and Candace Iskowitz representing the Institute for Business and Home Safety. Their website is DisasterSafety.org. Thank you for being on Fed Access, ladies.
You've been listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch, Friday afternoons at noon, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.